But the other thing is, you could say it's like a 3% tax. Let's say for the sake of conversation, it's 3% on the sale of the property. Well, you're going to have actually on both sides, buyer and seller is both going to be responsible for paying that tax. And so it disincentivizes people to sell their property. It makes people who want to buy property, it makes it more difficult for them. And I would say, you know, if you're moving into your like third, fourth, fifth house, you know, you've built up enough equity that that might not be the worst thing in the world. But for someone like me, you know, that's 27 years old, fixing to buy their own house, I don't have an additional $3,000 to throw at this transaction because I'm already buried in student loan debt.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. For doing this for 30-something years, most people don't have an additional $3,000.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, because it's a tax, there's no bank in the world that's going to let you roll that tax up in your loan. That's on you. Because if you fall apart and you can't pay that bill, they can take the house back, but they'll never get that $3,000 on taxes back. So no bank is ever going to let you roll that into the loan.
You know, and when you start rolling a bunch of fees back into your loan, guess what happens when you try to sell it a year or two down the road? You reversed your, so it's not a good deal. So this was a huge, huge deal to avoid it. And this came up year after year after year. Mm-hmm. And so now it's huge. It's gone.
Yeah, so we've been working on that, honestly, for 70 years at this point at the Texas Association of Realtors. And I want to give a big shout out to Lieutenant Governor Patrick for being incredibly supportive of our efforts on that. And I want to give a big shout out to Senator Perry for being supportive of our efforts on that.
Next one's our roads.
Yeah, so Prop 7 helps with the roads, and you know, it's another one of the situations where we're taking baby steps to fixing this problem that we let fester for the last 20 years. But it dedicates additional funding to the road, to the roads by allocating part of sales tax and motor vehicle sales tax towards transportation projects. So that's huge. But you know, Drew Darby actually made like a really good point on this. That's a good step in the right direction. We're paying for some of these roads. Projects that we need to get done. But let's not kid ourselves. We did not create new revenue. We shifted money from the left pocket to the right pocket.
Fact.
And all of a sudden, transportation's taken care of a little bit more. But that's money we can't spend on other things like education, health services, border security. I mean, so it's always a decision, a lot of hard decisions they have to make in Austin on how to fund these things. I mean, there's a lot of services that the government is required to provide, and it sometimes becomes a challenge to figure out how to finance that operation.
Well, and I'll be real honest, we support private property rights, so we're fighting for that. Every victory we have, somebody lost. I mean, somebody that wanted it for, you know, building a hammer factory somewhere else, that didn't work for them. So, I mean, there's only so much money there. So somebody's going to get some, somebody's not. And I guess that's one reason, you know, and the squeaky wheel does get the oil.
Oh, absolutely, and I think
no pun intended, needing oil around here.
Texas realtors have been tremendously vocal and work very well with our legislative members in Austin to advance private property rights agenda.
Which is, and you're going to see that for everything. One thing that was brought up in Washington was the short-term lease, which is ironic because it's a huge topic here in San Angelo right now. So I was able to go to the National Association representative, and he gave us literally about a 300-page book, which I shared with our chamber, our councilman. Council people here.
Yeah,
it's a tough decision because, and if they're dealing with it right now, if I own a property, I have three rights. I have the right to rent it, I have the right to sell it, and I have the right to buy it. I mean, that's basically sure. What it is. So you're infringing on their rights to rent a property the way they want to. But by the same token, if I live next door to it and there's a party there every night and I can't sleep, I got a problem with that. So which is one reason you call the pick up the phone and say, hey, police, got a party next door.
Yes.
But that's issues that, you know, we're dealing with here locally, which was ironic. Guess what they're dealing with in Maine and in Boston and in Florida? The same thing. You could have just picked up their conversation and moved it right here to San Angelo and nothing changed. The names changed. Other than that, it was the same old.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think that the time we go and spend in Washington, D.C. every year is critical. Because we get to see how other states do things, how other markets operate, and you know, our problems here are not unique to us.
And what's good is we
can go up there and get perspective from other people, other parts of the state, other parts of the country. Hey, y'all dealt with this. Like, what's a good solution? How did you fix this?
Well, and we were listening to one group, and I was on a committee, and one of the guys sitting next to me, he was from Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. and they're dealing with some money laundering issues there in Miami. And he's talking, what do you mean? He goes, well, people are basically buying these $1 million houses, bringing in cash. And I'm sitting there going, I just like to see somebody bring $1 million in cash in to buy anything here. Right. You know, we don't have, to my knowledge, we don't have that issue here. But it would be kind of fun to see somebody try. You know, it's like, come on, bring that $1 million cash on in here. Let's see what the title company says.
I think that our title companies would, they'd probably never seen that before.
I have never seen that before.
Yeah.
But another thing you would be cognizant of is what we haven't had here yet is a lot of people that are doing fraud with wire transfers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're trying to stay ahead of the curve. And different deals. But I will tell you a true story. You know, we have a couple more minutes. We're in Washington. I don't know if you know this. And I get a text from Claire, 911. I'm like, what the heck? So I walk out of my meeting. And she goes, I just got a call. I said, really? She's bawling. I mean, crying. She says, from the IRS. I said, you got a call from the IRS. Okay.
It's unusual.
And she's like, well, like $11,000. I go, right now. I said, yep. I said, do they want my money today? She goes, yeah, if I give them my credit card, they'd cut it in half. I said, well, number one, the IRS doesn't call you. They'll send you a letter. And number two, they're not going to take your credit card over the phone and cut it in half. So it was kind of ironic. We're talking about fraud in Washington. While we were there,
right.
It happened from someone from San Angelo, Texas, that was a fraudulent deal. I mean, they were basically – and what makes me so upset, what if it had been a little old lady or a little old man or anybody that didn't know it was catching on, and they give them their credit card number, and that person just scams them for $5,000 or $6,000.
Right.
So, folks, be careful out there.
No, you have to be cognizant of it. I mean, whether you're getting, you know, fishy phone calls or fishy emails, the whole Nigerian prince situation.
Yeah. I mean, are you just won $1 million to have 500 of new Nigerian?
They speak like real broken English in the email. Like, yeah, you got to watch out for
just,
that.
Just be careful. And if you know what, if you don't know, you can call the consumer deal here. And they will help you with that. You know,
yeah,
Business Bureau.
They're really good at providing information and guidance on how to handle that situation. The unfortunate part, though, is, Scott, so many of these like fraudulent scams are overseas.
Oh, yeah.
And so we can't prosecute them. We can't get the money back. That becomes a problem.
Folks, if you learn nothing else, be careful. Hey, we hope you got some good information from it, and we'll catch you next Sunday.